So we were, just those of you who weren't here in the last class, this is the main verse we're talking about. These are the opening lines of the Entering the Middle Way, Master Chandrakirti's most famous book on emptiness, most famous book ever written on emptiness, probably. I don't know. It's the main one that we use in the monastery. Okay. And it says, listeners and mid-level Buddhas are born from Buddhas, and Buddhas themselves are born from bodhisattvas, and bodhisattvas, there are three main causes for a bodhisattva: compassion, the mind that transcends duality. We had a debate about that in the debate ground. Good debate. I almost got beat there. Anyway, I got beat at the end anyway. And then the wish for enlightenment. Okay, so here we go. He's going to continue talking about these lines, all right? And we were to this monster, a sentence that couldn't be broken. And I don't know how I'm going to translate it, because what happens here is when you start typing, you miss the first line. Let me see. Oh, I know. If you don't mind, I'll just shrink it. Just until I translate, then I'll shrink it. Unshrink it, okay. He's just saying that compassion is the root of every higher spiritual quality. And this is because, I think personally, and don't you think, that when he's talking about listeners and self-made Buddhas, he must be talking about arhats, right? Of those types, right? But that's a debate. Arhats are born from the Buddhas are born from bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas, in turn, are born from three causes. And two of these causes, at last, that was Anatole's thing, are born from love or great compassion. So then great compassion is the root of all everything. So that's why he bows down to great compassion first. And then he says this. Now he's going to back it up with a quotation from Rangdo. I'm not going to read it with you because we read it last week. I'm trying to save time. What's Rangdo? Auto commentary. Who's auto commentary? Yeah, Master Chandrakirti. Okay. And this is true because the auto commentary says, how do I do that thing?
What?
How do I get margin on
this thing? In the upper left.
Up here? I go here?
Yeah, that.
And then what were we using?
Indent.
We call it indent. So I type I.
Maybe.
Let's try and see what happens. Yeah, okay. I might have to shrink this too, sorry. We'll clean it. Usually you don't have this long of a sentence, but we're here, okay? Can you see where that thing is? We're at Chomdende. And I was looking at a commentary, and it's applied Chomdende Ma. So what's the difference between Chomdende? What is Chomdende? Conquer in Sanskrit? Bhagavan, right? And then what's this, the feminine? Bhagavati, like at the beginning of the... Yeah. Chomdende Ma, you know, bows down the mother of the Buddhas, right? Wisdom itself. So, and this one thing is the, how do you want to say Lady Conqueror? The Empress, or I don't know. Huh?
Lady Conqueror.
Does that sound like somebody conquers
ladies? Oh. Yeah. Well, it's up to you.
Conqueress.
Mother, mother,
conquering lady?
Mother,
great mother.
Conquering lady.
The conquering lady is okay. By the way, if you're new in this class, this is how we do the class, and it's a joint effort, right?
I like
Empress. Is Empress kind of sounds like a conqueror? Does it give the context?
No.
Conquering Empress or Victorious Empress?
Victorious
God.
It has to have the idea of beating somebody.
Lady Conqueror.
Lady Conqueror.
Victorious Lady.
Victorious Lady.
Conquering mother. What does mother sound like? It sounds like Bjork after she had her kid, you know.
I don't know what to say.
She lost all her. Conquering. Come on, let's go. Conquering mother. Okay. Victorious mother. Conquering. Lady of Conquest. See, this is why it couldn't be split. Well, where was it? Oh, okay. I kind of like the ever.
The lady?
Yeah. That, what did I do?
This one thing is lady of.
Oh, all right, okay.
Should those be dashes instead of semicolons around great compassion?
No, it's a list, you see?
Oh.
It's a list separated by semicolons, yeah.
Okay.
And this thing is why I... I have to jump up to something. And... Cool? Is it okay?
Yes.
I mean, we'll clean up the formatting, but you get the point, right? And you know, if Master Chandrakirti himself says that's why he wrote it that way, then I suppose we can agree, right? Okay? You all right? So he's saying, he gets really waxes poetic, right, about it. And so that's all. Here we have to do that. We have to, what is it, indent? Okay. All right, so now I'm going to unshrink it. And we'll go on.
I think the rest of it was 16.
Was it 16?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We have to do one more thing. Beth, what's that? Is she here? You tell me. It's a quotation. I'll give you a clue. Yeah, we have to tell where it came from. If we're gonna be that scholarly, right? We're gonna go to that level. But we're not gonna go much more than that. Just to say, you know, we'll be try to finish it before 3-year retreat, okay? That other 3-year retreat. So, we just take a unique piece. Any unique piece, like if I'll ask you, would Nyingje Chenpo be a unique piece to search for? No, okay. Like I would take something like Upa Nyidu, which means really worthy, and it's not very common. So let's search for that. We're just trying to get the folio number of the text to impress people who read it. You know, that's all. Nobody will ever care, right? Kangyur Tengyur or Sumbum? Tengyur. Okay. If you're new, this is the sections, you know, would you search the words of the Buddha? Would you search the ancient Indian commentaries? Or would you search the later Tibetan commentaries? And we're looking for the auto commentary by Master Chandrakirti, so we'll look through Tengyur. Anything else? Umaya. That'll just save us time. We don't have to look through all the Tantra, all the Prajnaparamita, all the Vinaya. You know, we'll go straight to... and if you're lost, that's okay. Just stick here. Every time you see a thing change up on top, it's going through another couple hundred pages, okay? And this is not it, okay? This is another Upa Nyidu, okay? How about this one? By the way, where you see the white box is where it found a hit. Is it the same quotation?
It looks like it.
Yeah, it is. Okay. I wonder if there's any differences. You see, we've been exploring differences, right? Anything that helps. I don't think there's any big differences. Chamden de Ninja Chambasangi Niki Gyupin Sabadambo, Simjikor and Samanadi Kyabme is a little bit spelled differently, I think. Let me see, where is that? Kyop here? No, sorry. Kabme. Wow, he got this one perfect. Okay, so we'll leave him alone. What folio is it on? How do you know what folio it's on? You go up until you hit an ampersand at the beginning, right there? Right there? Can you see okay?
It's hard to read.
It's hard to read? Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's 220A. Okay. Why A? Sorry? Front side of the page. Okay. So they count pages A and B. They which make, you know, if you ask how many pages is this text, we're on page what now? I got something for you, by the way, remind me. Okay. We're on page 440 because we're on 220A. You see what I mean? But it's folio 220. Okay. So when I'm bragging about how many pages ACIP has input, I always say 440 pages. You see what I mean? Okay. So 220A. And this is easy because we've already given all the found at folio 220A and the other commentary. And then I just give the text number, TD3862. And again, that used to take me maybe 4 hours to find on a good day, you know, before the database. So it's really nice to have. Okay. Okay, what we usually do if you're new, we usually just read it together. This is a trick that I learned from my Greek teacher, and it works. It'll start popping into your mind in 6 months or something, okay? So if you don't know how to read it, just fake it. Just make any noise at all. You know, no, I mean, look at what it says and take a guess. And don't go too loud on the ones that look really strange, you know? And then... and then you open your mouth, and then all the other people say it right, and then it drills it into your mind. They used to tell us that in choir, at church, you know. Just open your mouth. If you can't hit a high note, open your mouth, and the other people's vibration will make the note vibrate in your throat. Just try to get there, and it makes the sound come out of your... It's like a sitar, the lower strings, you see. So anyway, it'll resonate. The other people's thing will resonate. So do the ones you can do and then fake it on the other ones. Okay. Here we go. One, two. Oh, and I'll do this, which means what? The next word is a high tone. This is a low tone. And this? It's a pre-nasal. Put a little M sound in front of it. And then this? It's a silent drawn out, you know, like it's a prefix letter that got lost, but you draw it out in linguistic compensation. This one? Cut it short, like the ending letter gets thrown out, but therefore the sound gets cut short. Okay, so those are all you need to know. Yeah.
Could you give us like an example of the difference between kind of, sometimes I watch it.
Yeah, I can say this first word here, which is, look up there. It says nyen, right? If you make it high tone, nyen means famous, and nyen means to listen. Okay, say nyen,
nyen,
and it's not so much tone as force. You know, like, what the heck are you talking about? You see, we use it in English for other purposes. You know what I mean? So it's like, nyen. It's not so much, nyen. Nyen. Okay, it's not so much that. I'll give you another example. This is another example. Say, wang.
Wang.
So that's like a strong tone. Le. This is le. Say, le.
Le.
Le means brain. Le means from or karma. You see what I mean? So you've got to get this straight. Or people, you're talking to somebody and you're saying, oh, I got a problem with my karma. And you say, I got a problem with my brain. You know what I mean? No, like, if you don't get it, most foreigners never get it straight. You know, they never get it straight. So watch me when I do this, okay? Oh, what's this mean? Yeah, the Brazilian lady at the Brazilian airport who goes, flight number 555. And that means it's a low-tone voiced, which we don't have in English. We don't have it in English. So you need to say ka. Say God. then cod. It's, we don't have it in English, so you got to know it. Say ka. And you're, this should shake. Ka. 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 Okay? And then there's ga, which is third column head letter. And then there's nga, which is a prenasal. Okay? And then there's other. There's ga. Ka. Ka. Ga. Nga. Gaha. Okay? And you'll know the differences. Okay, there you go. 1, 2, 3. Nian rang tu wang le chun na. Nian rang te kang chun su de chi ta bu she na. Okay. Nian rang. Just, you know, I'll say the word, then I'll say what it is, and you're going to follow with me. Nianrang, listeners and self-made Buddhas. Okay. Shena, if you say, if you ask, okay, so you may ask, you may ask. If it's true that this is in the best place. Am I okay? Did I miss it? Is it okay? Oh, yeah. Say kiawa. Then say chung. We had it last time. What's the difference? Do you remember? Yeah, it's the high, high honorific. So you got to reflect it somehow. And it's sort of corny to say take your holy birth, but... But it's a, he's gone up two levels of honorific for this verb, so I think we have to say something. That's why it's your holy in all my translations. It's just I'm trying to reflect this honorific, high speech. Okay, okay, you ready? Here we go again. Now let me get it up higher. 1, 2, 3. Rang dun du du kun. Nye wa shi wei, nye shi zo wo, dun dun, nye wei, te ba chu mu kang sa, nian te yin xing. Okay. Rang, myself. Okay. Dun. Meaning, come on, I feel like I'm doing a solo. Dungel suffering. It's Dungel Denpa. He's just putting one syllable for Dungel Denpa. Okay, the truth of suffering. All right. So what's this one? Kunjung Denpa. The truth of the source of suffering. Okay. Shiva. It sounds like Shiva, right? Peace. Peace. Okay. What? Listen to this one. Shiva. 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 What's Shiva? Peace. What's Shiva? Rest in peace. Okay? All right? Big difference. No, big difference. You say, Shiso means he died. Shiso means he's in a state of peace. Okay? They're similar, right? They're obviously linked in ancient times somehow. But nowadays you have to make them different. Okay? Take ba chung mu hinayana. Okay, all right. We better stop. That's getting kind of weird. Okay. So he's going to get in now. I mean, this is nice. You know, in the debate ground, we were discussing what's a listener, what makes you a listener. Everyone started to throw in ideas about what a listener was, and. This is the classic source for it, okay? So if you learn the next page, you'll be able to talk about listeners, okay? Why is that important, you know? We always have to think, how does this connect to my life? You see, what's this got to do with my life, right? And you'll see the idea of a listener is someone who hears a certain level of Dharma and can report it to other people but can't do it themselves. You see what I mean? That's a really sad state. It's almost a comment on who we are. You see what I mean? Oh, yeah, Geshe Michael could get up and teach about all that stuff. you know, in Tucson. And then the first moment he gets in a hot spot, he just can't do it himself. You see what I mean? And it's like that. Then you're like, oh God, I'm just a listener. You see, I'm just a reporter. You see what I mean? So everything has a deeper meaning. Everything, there's this karma you have. If you're listening to a teaching, it's always aimed just at you. You see, it's the weirdest thing. You can sit in a group of 5,000 people and the Dalai Lama gets up and he's like staring at you and he's like criticizing you, you know, and you're like, you know, and no, I'm like, that's the sweetness of the Dharma. That's the magic of the Dharma. Yeah. So like, think about, am I a listener as we go through the description of a listener? Okay. And then we'll try not to be listeners. Yeah. Okay. Oftentimes, by the way, those of you who are going to be translating, say dukkun. Right here, dukkun. That's a code word for dungyal denpa, dangkunjin denpa. And they just don't, it's such a common expression. Of the Four Noble Truths, two of them suck, two of them are great. You see what I mean? Dukkun suck, right? And then the other two are great, right? Okay, dungyal and kunjung, suffering and the source of suffering. That was for Sykes, he's not even here. And then the end of suffering in the path, you know, lam goklam, you see? So oftentimes they'll just say dukkun and you gotta know. And you won't find it in a dictionary or, I don't know, maybe eventually you will, if it gets hypertexted. Okay. By the way, the hypertexting is going really good. Eric's doing a good job. It's like amazing. It's something that I wanted for a long time. And he's almost halfway through the catalog, 2,300 titles. Hypertexting them with a crew, with a nice crew of people around the world. So he's really organized it well. Okay. Okay, here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Te la nian te she chao wei gyu sen ye te te shin She fa la den de sa me de kon na ni nian ne de de nie ki kang sa nam ki te ba je be gyu sen ki de ta she be ye. Okay? He can't help it. Every sentence is a debate. He just can't stop. You know, sometimes he does it when he doesn't have to do it. You know what I mean? And he's just like, you know, I guess, okay, so, what was Kim before? Oh.
These.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, they are called mistress. I'll show you something we have to do in the Tibetan, okay? This is how I would handle this, and we'll talk about it. Actually, listener in Tibetan means listener, listen and hearer. Listen, hearer. Nyen te, say nyen te. So nyen means listen, te means to hear, right? And we can't go, you know, the early translators into English made up words like listen, hearer, and they won't survive. And that's some kind of principle that I should talk about. It's translation is a, what do they call it with Darwin? Survival of the fittest. You see what I mean? Translation, the art of translation is survival of the fittest. Like once Stephen Batchelor came out with Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life for entering the bodhisattva's behavioral pattern, it stuck. And everyone else has had to use it because it's just good. You see what I mean? And it will survive. And whoever wants to translate it more literally as entering the path of the behavioral activities of, you know, they just won't make it. People, they'll call Snowland and say, we don't want to print your book. You see what I mean? And it's just selective evolution of what's correct and also sweet, right? So you can't call them listener-hearers. Okay, so we shorten it to listeners. But then when you get into Tibetan who's making a literal explanation of why they call it nyen tu, you have to tell you have to reflect that in your translation. So this is how I handle that. I put nian to after the word for listeners. When he's giving a sikshe means what? Do you guys know? It's a commentary on the pieces of the word of their name. Okay, then you have to put the pieces in there because they're called listener and hearers, because they listen to it and then they allow other people to hear about it. You see what I mean? So that's why they're called, they're really called listener hearers. Although they're not hearing, they're letting someone else hear it. You see, here it's tupar chepa, which means they enable someone else to hear about it. You see what I mean? So they're the listeners, but they're not the hearers in listener hearers, which we've shortened to listeners, because listener hearers is not going to make it even at Diamond Cutter Press. Okay, all right.
Yeah. What is that?
We're getting there. Good question. There's always a Sabuti who brings up the next paragraph. Right? Yeah.
Should you capitalize him when you're referring to the one Dharma?
I'm not going to capitalize enlightened beings. I do it in my tantric translations, if you've seen the Dakye translations and stuff like that. Because I feel like it's cloying in a public translation. In a translation that will go to the public, I think it's too much connected to God and Christianity. Which is the only place where it's capitalized outside of German. But it's too similar to that, right? But in a tantric translation, I translate anything that relates to an enlightened being to show respect for it, right? And I know that that audience, whoever gets that translation, which will be only the people who got initiation, they won't think it's cloying, you know? So, yeah. Did you have a question?
When you were talking, you said they enable them to hear it.
Yeah.
They help them to hear
well,
it. Well, it's enable is good.
That means they wouldn't be able without them, but this is more like help, meaning other people could help, could also do it, you know. Okay. And lots of people of that kind get it on their own. Okay? So it's not that everyone who ever hears it through a listener. Okay,
So they help them to hear it by teaching it?
Yeah, well, they report it. Now, if you want to call that teaching, that's a question, right? If I get up and teach something that I can't follow, I guess I'm just reporting, right? And, you know, sometimes I feel like that. So, okay, anyway. This will be, okay.
Do they become arhats?
Sorry? He never said they're arhats.
Oh.
But normally they... They're talking about arhats, like...
So they can't practice the teachings.
But not the Bodhisattva ones, apparently. That's the point. But we'll get more. You can debate it in the debate ground. By the way, this is where you collect your questions for the debate ground. It's stuff. Anything you would wonder about is the first thing you should bring up in debate ground. Don't prepare what's comfortable for you and take it to debate ground. Start a debate about what you don't understand. You see, that's the key to becoming a geshe or whatever you want to say. I watched it for 20, 30 years in the monastery, you know. The guys who want to be safe, so they only debate about what they really understand. They don't learn anything, right? And then the guys who take risks, you know, they'll like start a debate about something they don't understand very well. Then by the time the night's over, they understand it. And you multiply that times like 300 a year, then they get really good at it, you see. So go for the stuff you don't understand. Go for the stuff you're not too clear about. And let somebody make a fool out of you. But you'll know it by the time that... You'll never forget the ones you got made a fool out of. And then I especially remember those from my debate days. You know, whenever I was in a huge... I remember Geshe Tashi leaning out of the front row, you know, in the junior Geshe debate and asking me a tough question. I'll never forget this. Every time I think of him, I think about this question. You know what I mean? So it's good for you. You know. Okay. Somebody else had a question? Yeah.
Profound dependent origination.
It's what? It's a trick. It means emptiness. Yeah. In the form of emptiness. He's been saying that. Yeah.
What's the Tibetan?
The Tibetan for that is sub dendel sabmo. Dendel is dependent origination, and sabmo means profound. Okay. What's sabmo? Saddle. Horse saddle. Okay, so be careful. All right, here we go. Something like that. Okay. Oh, we got to read it. Ready? One, two, three. che pe sun ye te di ta cha wa che so di le si pa shen mi she so she jun wa ta tu te pa che pe. Okay, he can't help it, right? Okay. You were asking about high tone, low tone. Here's two right next to each other. Say she.
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 She. Right? So why did they use a Z? There is no low tone S in English. So we just have to use another S-ish sound. Does that mean you should say je? No. Only if you're from Calm. You know? You want to say geshi zupa. You see what I mean? And they do. But you'll say I'm weird. Okay? All right.
Repeating here a teaching.
Sorry?
It's quite a lot of here a teaching in the second line.
He does that. I'll show you where he does it. And when he does it, I do it. You see what I mean? If he's being repetitive, we call dupikin. Say dupikin. Dupikin means the fault of classical composition that you have unnecessarily repeated something. So we assume that a great writer has not done it. You see, he's repeating himself for a reason. So here it's called, say, tupachepa. And then down here, tupachepa. So if you're a really sensitive translator, you want to do just what he did. Because he's doing it for some... And he actually had a third one. Look up here. Tupachepa. He's following a theme. He's got three tupachepas. You've got to be really sensitive to that. When you get really good at translation, you're like, boom, 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 three tupachepas. So I have to use the same English. He's on a roll here. It's like, now I tell you that. Now I'm... And now I'm... You know, and he's like, you got to get that feeling in your translation. Okay? You get that after about 30 years. Okay? Okay, I looked up this quotation. It's really beautiful. Lord Buddha is like, he's with some people who, he's just got enlightened, and he's kind of like Minjikpa. It's this famous Minjikpa. What is that? Abhaya, right? About what? I am Mr. Great, frankly. You know, like, Nani Jikdendina Chokshe Ja. He walks, he takes five steps, three steps, he to the east, west, you know, and then he says, I'm the greatest being in this planet, frankly. You know, I finished it, you know, I'm done. And I'm out of here. You know, he says it to the people, I think it's his other, those five first disciples. He just says, look, frankly, I'm out of here. You know, I made it. This is how I did it. You want to know? You know, and he's just not afraid to say it. That there's a certain thing where it's not pride anymore. It's just, it's called Minjikpa, Abhaya. It's her ordination name, Jime. It's Naropa's ordination name. Just a coincidence. Okay. Here we go. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Nyen tu ki ge de sra wa ka ni te do la ju pe de wang tu che ne de la te do pa she che pe gyu sen yu de. He's like this. Yu de. Yimbe-che. Where's the Yimbe-che? Let's go look. Shape-che. There it is, okay? Right there, right? So he's got his Yinde. He's up here, you see? Okay? Okay. Nian tu. Listener. Good. That's about all you know here. Okay. You ready? Oh, we did it already. Okay. So anyway, here you get the just some comments. Those of you who are going to learn to translate, you should learn this word. Kedu. That'd be nice on the homework, okay? You guys can, you're doing the homework, right? You listen. Okay, thanks. I didn't ask, I just assumed. And you guys are still grading? Yeah, okay. Which one are you grading? Yeah, you're doing the other. Okay. Say, que de. De means a substitute for something. And the only place you see it is on envelopes when you offer a lama 5 rupees in a white envelope and you write Mandel Dudu, which means in substitution for the universe, I offer you 5 rupees. You say Mandel Dudu Gor Nga Pu. And then, you know, like when you pass your guest, you get 4,000 of these envelopes and it, and you open them all up and it's not enough to buy lunch with. Now, remember that we were in Mongolia? Do you remember?
Yeah.
We spoke to 9,000-10,000 people and they all offered some money and then we gave it to the restaurant at dinner and it wasn't enough to cover it. But it was like a wheelbarrow full of Mongolian money. But anyway, it de means in substitution for. So ke de means a linguistic substitute, which means, it always means the equivalent Sanskrit term or the original Sanskrit term for some Tibetan spiritual expression. You see what I mean? So you always have to think of it that way when you see it. Sravaka is misspelled. Why is it ba instead of va? Tibetans don't have a V. Okay? They had to choose something. So they chose ba. Now, in Bengal, it's pronounced ba a lot of the time. You see? And that's where a lot of Tibetan Buddhism derives from. So, and in manuscripts, you'll see Bs and Vs interchanged in Bengal. So, the Tibetans are not so stupid. They're not, you know, Sanskrit scholars in the early years thought they were just dumb. But actually, if you're sensitive, what you're seeing is a very valuable, what do you call it? Historical artifact of how Sanskrit was pronounced 1,000 years ago. You see, they don't say Sravaka even in India nowadays. It's like a Sravaka. You see, and so it's not just that Tibetans are dumb or they can't spell. It's a and somebody I was reading something. The cool thing about learning Sanskrit and Indo-European is you can find historical artifacts about your own culture that precede writing. You see, if you understand where your language has come from, you'll know more about your old culture that you come from than with pottery and buildings and tablets. You see, the language you speak is a historical artifact that, if you understand it, can tell you more about mankind 15,000 years ago than any excavation can tell you. You see, it's very interesting. Just what you, how you speak and the words that you use and which words came into Sanskrit, it's really interesting. But anyway, so we're going to say Sravaka because that's the way most modern Sanskritists mispronounce it. And we don't want them to think we're dumb. It's just Sravaka. Also applies to the idea, okay, of one who listens. So now we're going to get into more into the idea of why are they called those who listen and proclaim, okay? Oh, we didn't read this. Let's go. You ready? You thought you got out of it. 1, 2, 3. Take chen gi lam de bu dang che pa de la te ne de de nye ki take chen gi rik chen shen la do pa che pe gyu sen ki de ta she pe she. He just can't, like, you can't imagine what it must have been like to have lunch with him. And he's like, because I saw him, you know, and then he like cooked the dal and then there was rice, and, you know, and like, okay. Okay, and this is their, is that, and this is that they are given the name because they do listen to the path. Okay, here's the idea where they're reporting the teachings to people who are on a higher path than they are. You see, like they hear Mahayana, they hear about high compassion teachings, and particularly in this school, what? teachings about, yeah, like higher forms of emptiness, right? And then they report them to people who think that's cool. Okay, you're already getting this implication of what? They just report them. They can't do it themselves. You see what I mean? Like, they can actually report what they heard in the debate ground about, you know, projections and emptiness and karma, but then they can't really get it themselves. You see? Or they can't act on it themselves. Okay?
So does that create the
conversation? I'm sure it does. Yeah. I'm sure it does. Yeah.
Yesterday, someone online asked what, well, hey cheer means, but
it's what means?
Hey cheer. You know, so it's, I guess it's like hey cheer. Like what it actually means.
Oh, yin bei cheer. Yeah, it just means because. Because that's true. Yeah, I've been translating as it's true that dot dot dot, you know, and it gets boring, it gets repetitive. I want it to be why? Because he's doing it. Yin bei cheer, yin bei cheer, yin bei cheer, yin bei cheer. You know, he keeps doing it. That kind of thing, you don't try to spice it up. You don't try to vary it, you know, because he's doing it for his own reasons. So you have to be able to distinguish between when he's repetitive for his own reasons, and you shouldn't try to spice it up, and then when he's repetitive because it's repetitive in Tibetan, and it would be bad composition in English to repeat it, and you don't want him to sound like he can't write to an English reader. So in that case, it's your responsibility to spice it up or to vary it where it would sound off in English composition. You see? Okay. Okay, here we go. By the way, the first line is, oh, the Dhamma Pekar says this. You go, it's true because the Dhamma Pekar says that. And then he's going to quote four lines from the Dhamma Pekar. What's Dhamma Pekar? What's Pema?
Lotus.
This is the Lotus Sutra. Okay. He's going to quote the Lotus Sutra. But why I stopped to alert you is that I want you to sing-song the verse. We're going to do it in pairs. Let's just practice this first line here, where the cursor is. I say Gumbo, Tering, Dakchak, Niente, Gyur. See, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Unless you're doing Milarepa. And then it's da 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 da. And that, then the first Panchen Lama is like often swiping that kind of meter. Okay, but this is normal meter. Let's do it again. Gumbo, Tering, Dakcha, Niente, Gyur. Okay? So when we get there, you gotta do that, alright? Here we go. One, two, three. Te yin te dam che pe ka le gum bo te rin dak cha nien te yu chang chu dam pa yang ta dra pa gi chang chu pa yi dra yang rap tu je de we Dakcha niente mi se, skip the sick girl for kangir mi se sankut maravihun da she sube che. He's still going, you know. Okay. I was looking this over and I just couldn't get this one line here. Mi se means, do you know what se means? Huh? To wear out or to end. Like, hamko seisha means what? My shoes have worn out. The soles of my shoes have worn out. So that in colloquial, se means worn out. What's se mean? To kill somebody. They're probably related linguistically in the old centuries ago, but you don't want to make a mistake and kill somebody with your shoe, okay? No, I guess here this is what? Se. Say se.
Se.
The other one is se.
Se.
Okay? Se.
Se.
Se. Se. They're both S. One is strong, one is not. Se.
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 Okay, big difference. All right. Now, how to say? So mi se means never ending. And I was like, it doesn't make sense here. And I was busting my brain. Then I said, well, maybe it's misspelled, you know. So it's a long story, but Dakchak Nyen to me. I'll go show you. Kangir, Tengir, or Sumbum? Kangir, Lotus Sutra. It's a Lotus Sutra, okay? Now, unfortunately, those schmucks from ASCIP haven't finished the Kangir. No, it's not there. Or at least I didn't get it yet. I couldn't find it in that piece. Let's try another piece. Here we go. I just want to draw your attention to where the arrow is, okay? Say, Dewe, Dakchak, Drogpa, Mi Se, Bazad. This one is Zad, right? Mi Se means something totally different, okay? Okay, and that in itself is a long story. Like, Mi Se can mean unbearable or lousy. Okay, like misupa or supa. It comes from supa, patience, like geshe, like lama supa, or geshe supa. But it's sometimes it's spelled su and sometimes it's spelled se, and it means unbearable or lousy. Okay, mise, like unbearable. Okay, and so this one means never ending. This one means unbearable. Okay, this is the original in the Kangya. Okay, so he has misquoted it. Which we've seen a lot, right? Because where did they learn it? They learned it in the debate ground. You see, they learned it in the debate. They heard somebody quote this, and they just pick it. They just, man, listen to this. And they memorize it on the spot. They hear it 4 or 5 times. They hear this verse quoted by an older student, like somebody who's almost got their geshe, and they hear it over and over. And then they think they got it. And they're pronounced exactly the same. Se with the prefix and se without the prefix they sound exactly the same. So when he writes his book, he writes it that way. But it doesn't make any sense, you see. So anyway, I gophered it, and then I looked up mi se in what normally means unbearable. I found it means a Sanskrit equivalent that means lousy. Okay, and if you want it, it's like shudra or something. It's like flimsy or not so great or like that. Okay, so now let's go at it. And that was from the Mahavidpadi, which is an old dictionary that was used by Tibetan translators to translate from Sanskrit. Okay, so here we go, which is in the Tengir. It's in the Tengir bilingually. It's one line of Sanskrit written in Tibetan letters, and then it's a line of Tibetan written in... You see? It's really beautiful. It's an extraordinary text. We should hypertext that someday. Anyway, he thinks he's going to be done when he finishes the Torah. Okay.
You're leaving it as
EAD? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're quite right. Yeah, do we make a note? I don't think so. I mean, just where it's just a simple misspelling and where we have confirmation from the Kangya that we just correct the spelling. And where it's a homonym and all, you know, it's just a simple boo-boo, okay? It's not like something that we have to report a variant. That's a different thing. Okay, here we go. And this is true because, right? Now, the real name of the Lotus Sutra is the Holy Dharma of the White Lotus. Okay, nobody in Tibet ever calls it Lotus Sutra. Okay, it's called Damche Pekar. Say Damche? Pekar. Nobody ever calls it Pedo or Bemedo or something like that. Okay? That was just an abbreviation by some Westerner. Okay. Yeah?
Sorry? It's stuck now.
It's stuck, unfortunately. But so did Heart Sutra, and I don't mind. I mean, shorter...
Does anyone recognize Holy Dharma of the White Lotus as being...
I'll get used to that. No, I think this is a semi-formal translation, so that I would... I agree, though. I think that's up to you. When you reteach it to people, which you all have to do, you'll point out that this is the Lotus Sutra. Okay. Like the Heart Sutra is a lot easier name than the Essence of Wisdom Sutra. But Diamond Cutter is not a better name than Diamond... Diamond Sutra is not a correct translation of Diamond Cutter. Okay, anyway. Help me out. Rapta Jya. Jya means to express something. Raptu means really. Okay? But what it means is we'll go out and spread the word over and over or something like that. So I don't know.
Proclaim?
Well, we use proclaim. They want to say, and they use the word yang, which means over again. Like what you said, we'll repeat, you see. And raptu means like all the hell over the place, you know. So what's a nice way to say that? And I don't know. Spread's pretty close. Spread, I think, covers it. Yeah.
Yeah, but
continue to spread.
Or spread widely.
It is broadcast. It's a good word. It is broadcast. But I like spread. Does that give the feeling of the yang, the repeating, you see? We too will. How about we too will spread? We too will spread. No.
Because the Buddha wasn't just repeating, also.
We'll spread far and wide.
No, but we're missing the over again thing. How do we do that?
Continually spread?
But it doesn't mean continued action of them. It refers to repeating what he said. You see, when you say continually spread, it means they will do it over and over again.
You will again spread.
Echo is nice. I like that.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. We will echo and spread. And spread what you have said. Yeah.
Why, when we just got through speaking about listeners, when somebody claim that they will become their listener?
He's gonna give a whole commentary on it, so don't worry. Ask me that in about 6 hours of class from now. He's gonna kill this subject. Okay, so you're gonna be so tired of listeners by the time you get done. So don't worry, it's coming. By the way, this is, if I'm not mistaken, I looked it up, and it's people listening to the Lotus Sutra from Lord Buddha. And if I'm not mistaken, it might be people like Indra and, you know, like God, the worldly gods, and they're like, we'll do our best, we're just schmucks, you know. But we'll try to pass on what you've said, okay, and proclaim. We listen and we will be proclaimed. So that's why he's pulling out this quotation. Why? It has both those ideas of listening and proclaiming in the same verse. You see what I mean? We will not only listen, but we will be proclaimed. But in a sense, we are unworthy. Why? Because we can't practice it. You see what I mean? That's the implication of this verse. You see what I mean? And that was the mise. And if it had been misspelled, it would have been, and in a sense, we'll be your never-ending unlisteners. You see? So, okay, here we go. And we would have missed the whole point, right? Okay, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Nian te yin na, nian te ki zha shi, du yu be ma kya de. He's up there. There. He makes his, what do you call it? He makes his, what do you call it? His assertion. He's like this. He's making his assertion, right? Dukcha in logic. And then he comes down with the thought, you see, with the reason, which he hasn't done yet. He's at the assertion. Da 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 da. Da da da. Okay? So here he's up here now. When you get a day, that's a colon, meaning my assertion is done, here's the reason. Okay, so the day is the colon. Let's say some English words. Nian te. Listener. Good. Yin. Is. Okay. Da. Word. Sound. Okay. Ye. Is. What's the difference between yin and ye? It's something every translator should know. In English, the word is has two totally separate meanings. Right? He is John. Is in the sense of identity. He is that thing. He has that identity, right? Then there is a car outside. Means it exists outside. You see? We usually say there is. We don't say is, actually. So there is ye. Is, when you say somebody is something, what do they call it? Predicate nominative or predicate adjective. It means, it just means that is that identity-wise. So think, there's two is's in English. And in Tibetan, they're separated. Ye means there is. And yin means
it is.
Okay? Got it? Okay. You got to learn that. It's very important in colloquial, you know. Nga, Michael, ye. You know, new people come to the monastery, you know. I, Michael, exists. You know, because they want to say, I am Michael, you know. And then the Tibetans are like, huh? You know, okay. There's two is's, all right. I'm trying to protect you, those of you going to the monastery this summer, okay? This is tough. Okay. In its technical sense. By the way, you know, you sounded pedantic here, but then I saw that it's in Gombo Rabzel also. And we'll get to that. Like, we've been, those of you who don't know, we're alternating between two texts. One is Jetsun Kapa's most famous text on emptiness. One is, I think, the best monastic textbook ever written about that book. So they run parallel. And in some places, they're word for word the same. So this part is actually something that Jetsun Kapa made a point about. And this is a big deal in logic, okay? This is a big deal in logic, you know. You can call somebody a cow, but that doesn't mean they're giving milk, you know? It doesn't mean that the literal sense of the word cow applies to them. Okay? You can have nicknames for people that are not literal. Okay? Yeah, okay. And by the way, this is one of my pet peeves. You know, kyap, this is kyapa, ma kyap, okay? And there's no way to really translate that in English nicely, you know. Doesn't cover. What it means is, just because blah, 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 that doesn't mean that. We say it like that, you know. Just because you're an animal doesn't mean you're a cow, you know. Tundo yina paju yinbe ma kyap. You see, and in Tibetan they just have one little word that says, just because da-da-da, you aren't necessarily blah-da-da. You know, but in English we don't say it that way. And you see these weird translations like, you know, being a listener isn't covered by the technical sense of, you know, because kyap in a different pronunciation means cover. You see what I mean? And it's just like that people didn't know Tibetan well enough to say, just because that doesn't mean that, because that's how we say it. You see what I mean? And they say coverage, there's no logical subset coverage. You know, come on, or pervasion, yeah. It sounds like perversion or something, you know what I mean? We don't say there's no pervasion between a cow and me. Or, you know, or just because I eat a lot doesn't mean I'm a cow. You see, we say just because blah, blah, blah doesn't mean I'm a blah, blah, blah. You see what I mean? That's how we use makyap in English. Now, how are we going to do it in the debate ground, makyap? I think it's just not necessarily. Okay, like that. Okay, anyway, here we go. What's he going to do now? Tunbe Yangda, those of you who studied course 13, that lucky number. What was that? That's why I made a course 13. Logic, yeah, logic, okay. Yeah, so what is the Tunbe Yangda? Tunbe Yangda means he's going to give his example to prove. He's going to give his, when you say show, you know, somebody said show to him here. Show me. Show me what?
That it doesn't apply.
Yeah, somebody who's a listener, but to whom the technical sense of listener does not apply. Who could you give me? Well, how about a bodhisattva who's sitting there listening? Is he a listener?
He's listening.
Does the technical sense of listener that we've been using apply to him?
No.
Like he can listen to bodhisattva stuff, but he can't do it? You see, I mean, well, maybe. But anyway, in the general sense, no. That would be a good show, a good chichen. Give me an exception. Show means, well, give me an exception, God damn it. You know, and then somebody says, a bodhisattva is in the audience. Is he a listener? Yeah. Was he a listener in the technical sense of a Hinayana person who just reports it and can't do it himself? No. Okay. All right. That's the debate here. Actually, he's going to give a much different example, but here we go. One. Two, three. Su me kam pe nyen te la nyen te ki da juk tu ye kyang she tu me e che. Okay? Get it up there in the debate ground. Okay? It drives me crazy you guys going like this. Get it up here, you know? Get it up here. I got so criticized. Rinpoche saw me once in the debate ground because I just couldn't bear to have him watch me, you know. We made a deal. He never came. And then, but the one time I he saw me, he said, stop this. This is like seven-year-olds are doing that, you know. Get it up here, you know. You know, like, man, you know, it gives you some force, you know, when you do it. Okay. If your hands are bleeding at the end of debate, you're not doing it right. They should be split here, okay? They didn't spray blood in the guy's face. That's really cool. Okay. And this is true because...
Does everyone do it right-handed on the debate ground?
No, not at all. If you're a lefty, it's considered very... a big deal. When Geshe Thich Nhat Hanh saw her writing with her left hand, he's like, oh, a lefty, you know. No, because it's Vamapada. What's Vamapada? It's the left-hand path. It's a very high it is the highest tantric path. Vama is a beautiful word because it means your left hand, but it's also the source of the word feminine. So it means woman. It literally means woman's path, and it literally means left-handed path, both. It's one word that means both. And so if you like doing things with your left hand, it's considered really a big deal among people who know, you know. And then if you hand something to an Indian with your left hand and they don't know, it's like spitting in their face. Because that's the hand you use to wipe your bottom. Okay, so and they don't have toilet paper. Okay, so it's a very... drastic thing to use your left hand. It's a very much a statement. And people who know are like, oh, lefty, you know. And people who don't know are like, ew, you know. Okay, so anyway. And this is true because... Oh, hang on. I think I got it backward. Yeah. Is that right? Help me out. What's he talking about?
He's saying that somebody could be a person on the listener track and be in the formless realm?
Yeah.
So is that the technical meaning of listener?
I think so.
The literal meaning of listener.
But what? They can't listen. Why? You're in the there's no form. In the formless realm, there's no form. Form, that it means no physical reality in that realm. You are a purely mental being. Okay?
So you could say technically, but not literally.
Right.
Right. Can be applied in its technical sense. He says can be properly applied. No, but not in the way... It means, right? All right. It generally means? But not... Yeah, I guess you could say that. There's a word in English. Connotation and denotation, right? Is there another word for literal? Because I don't want to repeat literal because we... well, you could say, but not in its literal sense. I think literal is okay. Is that okay? You guys satisfied with that?
Yeah.
Good debate. So he didn't use the example I used, which is a bodhisattva sitting in the audience, right? He used somebody's in a place where they can be on a listener track, but there's no listening going on there. Okay? But that's not exactly what he meant up here. But anyway, we'll let him go away.
Are our readers going to understand that?
Sure.
Not that it's on a listener track.
Should we explain the formless realm thing, you mean?
Just that they're on a listener track.
Maybe it's in the
form. Oh, let them. There's some things you need a teacher, I think. Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Did he pull the opposite way in the previous paragraph, though?
Yeah, he did. He did. That's the problem.
Yes, you know, how can he be a listener in the first place?
Who?
Person in the formless realm.
I don't know. He was on a. He maybe has a listener's motivation still. Mm-hmm. That's all I can think of. This is a good debate ground question. Maybe he still has that lower motivation, right? He was a. Right? You see what I mean?
Well,
what places you on that track? What distinguishes that track, listener track? Yeah, you can't do it for yourself. You're only doing it for yourself. So maybe he's a Dharma student who had. How do you get born into the formless realm? Yeah, you do these great meditations on your breath. You just stare at your breath for hours and hours and hours. That gets you born in the formless realm. Rupanugama in the Yoga Sutra. Vitakka Vichara.
In the formless realm, it has to be a functional reality.
It's all just mental beings.
I know, but what's the point of a listener in the formless realm? It has to function to be a listener.
No, he still has his mind, right? Does he still have his mind?
Yeah.
So does he still have a motivation for his practice?
But there has to be a functional outlet for that motivation.
I don't think so. I mean, when he's asleep, does he have a functional hour for his own motivation? But is he still a listener? Does he stop being a listener when he falls asleep? You know, it's if he has that motivation in his mind, he's on a listener track. If he's already on a track. So say he died, he was on the listener track, he died, he got born in the formless realm. He still has that motivation. He's still a listener, but he ain't listening, is he? That's all. That's all he's saying. So don't bug me. Let bug him. Now, but does that follow from what he said before? That's what's bothering Ted, I think.
Contrary to your example of the bodhisattva.
Yeah. It's the opposite example.
We see bodhisattva in the form of small.
No, it's contrary because the bodhisattva has a different sort of motivation.
I better say literal sense, okay? But you see, he switched it, right? Didn't he?
Exactly.
Didn't he switch it? No, he's okay. I think he's okay. He's okay. Okay. You guys take it home and worry about it. Okay. That's how we get out of deciding. Am I supposed to stop at 7:30?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get to do one more. You're going to be late. You made me late. Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Pema kam le ke pe. Pema la so ke ki. Jan juk tu yu kyan she tu me pa ta bu yi. Thank you. Don't hit the person behind you. Okay. Can properly.
Well, I
like that. And actually, it fits the Tibetan better, what you said. She is like describe.
Describe?
Oh, sorry. It's better in the Tibetan, for the Tibetan. And I just like this. I wanted to do this line because say tsoke. Tsoke means born of the lake, and it's a poeticism. And when you learn to translate Tibetan, they took all the poeticisms from Sanskrit and translated them literally. Okay, so you just have to know. You'll get a sense that they're talking about. This is a metaphor. This is a, what do you call that? It's a poeticism or an epithet. You see what I mean? And you just smell them. You get to where you can smell them. And Soke, born of the lake, is... what's a big lake in Tibetan, by the way? Gyatso, which is the ocean. Okay? Big, big lake. Okay, but anyway, Soke is important in the Dakye, in the Vajrayogini Sadhana. Okay? When they need a secret word for something, they use lotus, right? And then to make it more secret, they'll say Soke, which means born of the lake. And then nobody will know what you're talking about. Because you just, you know, and I translated it that way in the Dakye. If you have the sadhana and you ever wondered, you know, what the hell is he doing? It says, the child born of the lake, you know. What's that? It's called twilight language. It's a code. It's all code for initiates. So, Tsoke means born of the lake and it refers to a lotus. Okay. Okay, we'll stop there. Oh, a kam's important to me. Why? Some of you know. Kam. Kam talk and len talk. Kam talk means a dry meeting. Len talk means a wet meeting. Kam talk is a meeting where nobody serves refreshments. They call it a dry meeting. And you know, people say, is this a kam talk or what? You know, I didn't get anything. You know, and you say, no, let's have a len talk. Okay, break out the Tibetan tea, you know, and the kapse. Which unfortunately, she opened the box and everybody was there yesterday. Anyway, so I had to share it with everybody. Then I had to go scrounge other people's. Okay, anyway. That's all. We'll stop there.
Okay.
Thank you. Nice job. You're getting good. You're getting good at it. And I said it before, I'll say it again. Some of you weren't here, but just stick in it. Just stay here, okay? Like in the monastery, you walk into a class, you have no idea what's going on. Nothing. For 2-3 hours, you have no idea what the guy's talking about. And it's very much a tradition to sit there. Just like they'll say, you go up to the Lama, you say, you know, frankly, Geshe-la, I didn't understand anything you said today. Especially it's not my language, you know. And then they'll say, just sit there. Don't go, you know. Just come back every goddamn day. And then after like a year, you get everything, you know. And you don't even remember that you couldn't get it before. You see what I mean? So just keep coming. And you'll be speaking Tibetan and you'll be reading Tibetan, okay. It's just a magic that happens if you just come like a donkey. They say, say kukpa utsu. Kukpa utsu. Kukpa utsu means just the goddamn foolish persistence. You know, Swami Shivananda called it asinine persistence. And you just keep going, you know. And then just one day you wake up and you see a scripture and you're like, wow, I can read that whole thing, you know. And so keep coming. Even if you don't know what's going on, keep coming. Okay. I think that particular lotus, right? Okay, all right. See you in a bit.